Blog Talk Radio.
Tell me the truth. Are you not mesmerized? Are chills not going up and down your skinny little spine?
What do you do all day? Not a goddamn thing. When was the last thing you did anything over there, that studio? Never. You never do a goddamn thing but sit around and bitch about women's genitalia. You guys are disgusting and need to get off the radio. Jake, you're fired.
Look in mine. What do you see? Come from personality.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Jake Pentland Show, joined as always by Jen. Say hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. It's been a busy morning, but I'm excited and interested in for today's interview.
I am, too. For those of you who aren't aware, it's definitely viral past that point, but a man in New Jersey named Stuart Shavitz is our guest today, and for those of you who haven't heard yet, his son is autistic, goes to a public school in New Jersey, and was getting reports of him being violent. Long story short, he put a microphone on his son and captured 6 hours of audio of the teacher, at one point calling him a bastard, all sorts of stuff. He is here with us. I'm excited to be joined. Stuart, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, thank you so much for calling in. I should have warned you about my theme song. That was my mother on one of her not-so-special days, and I just love it. So I want you to know what kind of show you're calling into, not scare you away, because this is exciting for me that you're here. So I'll let you tell the story. I don't want to do all the talking for you, but everything I've said so far is correct, yes?
Right. My son has always been a very gentle and sweet child. But when he started school again this year, we got reports home that he had been hitting his teacher and aide, and it didn't make any sense. So we had meetings with the school district. They brought a behaviorist in, and the behaviorist he never saw my son hit anyone. And more importantly, he tried to aggravate my son to the point that he would lash out and didn't. Now, when that happened, I knew that there had to be something going on inside the classroom that was dramatically affecting him. And at that point, I knew the only way that I would be able to find out is if I slipped a small digital recorder into his pocket. And I did on the morning of Friday, February 17th. And that night when I listened to the day's events and the horrific things that happened to him, I was just shattered because I had seen that my son was being bullied and tormented by his teacher and the aides in the class.
And since then, I understand the main teacher has been fired, yes?
No.
Okay.
From what we were told, the aide was fired or let go. The teacher was moved to another school in the district.
Right.
Now, I should say, once this campaign went off, the school has been issuing statements. You know, every million and a half people who watch the video, they feel the pressure and issue another statement on it. So at first they said it's a personnel matter, we're not going to talk about it. And then when the issue became hot, they said that all the people you hear on the audio have been removed and no longer work in the district. And an hour later after they issued that statement, I made a second video where I called the voicemail of the teacher who was now in the high school, and I play it on the video so that everyone can see that, in fact, the teacher was still in the district. Now, a couple of days ago, I haven't read the whole statement. Sorry, my dogs were a little out of the way. I have three dogs. Apparently I was told that a couple of days ago, or at least yesterday, the district issued a statement that he has been removed and put on administrative leave. So
that's
they are feeling the heat, but the teacher was still working in the district.
Yeah, I read their comment yesterday. They were saying basically, like how police say, it's an ongoing investigation. They're not going to let anyone go until they do a full investigation, and that's just their policy. That was the most recent one I saw when I called the school yesterday. But just more specifically, I guess, when I listened to your tape, the thing for me, I think everybody has an obvious reaction to it where they get very upset. I mean, I don't have children, but, you know, I understand.
Yeah.
The outrage for me was when she called him a bastard. I could see, you know, that's upsetting, but I know that there were 6 hours of audio, and you did edit it down for the YouTube, obviously, because I have a 10-minute limit. So did you specifically pick the worst possible things to edit it down, or was it just like a smorgasbord, so to speak?
Was it all day long happening?
I'm sorry?
Was it happening all day long?
Yes. I mean, and that's critical that people understand it wasn't just the first hour. It was throughout the day there were horrifically inappropriate conversations, and there was bullying going on at different times throughout the day. So, now, it's quite a long video. It's 17 minutes long. Plus, I have additional clips on their website just to show people some other stuff. Now, I announced this morning on CNN, and I'll repeat it here. Yesterday, the teacher's lawyer came out and said that the teacher wasn't part of this, that she didn't participate in it, and amongst other things, I'm paraphrasing. And I kept one clip in my pocket that I didn't release, and I'm going to be holding a press conference this week where I'm going to be releasing a whole new set of audio of the teacher directly involved in what I consider to be bullying of my son. So there won't be any question, there won't be any doubt. You hear her name said, you'll hear her voice clearly. And I'm going to be releasing some other clips as well, which I consider to be, and I think many people will be, just as scandalous as some of the other things I've released. So
can you give me
a hint
as to what's on that clip you're going to release, or is it?
Yeah, I can tell you what what I consider the bullying clip involving the teacher was. There was one point later in the day when my son was reading, and he's very proud of himself. He's reading, and his aide is reading with him, and suddenly he just innocently put his finger in his nose. You know, we all do it. It's not an issue. The aide yells at him, and they all get mad at him. The teacher says it's gross, and he tells the whole class he's picking his nose. My son gets very upset, and he's very, you know, he's embarrassed that he just got told that he's picking his nose in front of the whole class. I mean, as any person would be. And they really just, it was just a mean little incident that shows conclusively that the teacher was present when my son was bullied. And in fact, and I would, I would defy anyone to say when you hear her name issued and the fact that she continues talking through it, that she participated in it. So this is going to be round two I'm going after them because they her lawyers need to challenge something. You know, listen to what happened. There is no question about the brutality of that day. And the teacher is the ruler of that hellhole. She's got to take responsibility. Even if she never said a word, if she never said anything negative, she didn't stop anyone, and she must have created a climate where these people felt comfortable talking like that because it went on numerous times during the day.
But your son, Akian, he is in a self-contained autism class, yes?
Yes, there are five boys in that class. Well, there were five boys in that class. All of them are verbally impaired, which means none of them were able to tell their parents what happened. And that's really why I think you saw the aides being so mean and nasty and vindictive and not caring about them, having these insane personal discussions about that there, you know, that the aide running the class is under the influence of alcohol. There was talk of pregnancy and sterilization. There was just, they were complaining about parents in front of the child. They were complaining about me right in front of my son, and my son recognized it. And it was endless, from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. There was really just a small amount of educating going on and an enormous amount of personal inappropriate conversations and just vile behavior directed at these children.
And was
really, I call it a culture of cruelty.
Were they singling out Akian, or was it every child they were treating this way?
No, Akian was really targeted. You know, he got it the worst. And really, I mean, you know, all the kids, when the women yell, shut up, and the woman is talking about being under the influence of wine, that everyone is affected by that. Everyone's listening to that. But when they call him a bastard, when they tell him to shut your mouth, when they mock him, you know, my son has autism, sometimes he talks quietly to himself. Who are you talking to? Nobody, making fun of him, and he cries. It was one thing after the other. They really targeted him for just hostile treatment. And I guess maybe they were angry at me, or maybe they just were just hateful people. But my son is such a sweet, innocent child. And I should say that since he was removed from there and has had no contact with these people, he hasn't hit anyone. He hasn't been acted out at all. He's back to his sweet, lovable self. So that was even more evidence of this destructive, vile nature of the people in my class.
Let me ask you this. Should I call you Stuart or Stu, you said, was fine?
Stuart's fine.
Stuart, okay. Has he been in this particular school so far, his entire education, or is it a new school for him?
No, he was in that school since he got out of kindergarten, and he was in that class for a year and a half.
Okay,
so,
with the same teacher.
The same teacher for a year and a half. Now, I should say, and this is something that I'll probably be releasing, if not at the press conference, just along with it, that during the day, the teacher actually says, because it was a major act of faith that I have to record on this day, because early in the morning, I had the teacher was talking to Aiden about me. And in fact, I had sent an email in asking about my son's behavior. It was just a straightforward email. And she's talking about me, and she says at one point that that for years they weren't telling me about behaviors. So I don't know if he was lashing out last year as well, because she's admitting that they weren't telling me things that were going on in the classroom. So it's very possible my son was being, bullied for the entire time he was in there. I can't prove it. I can only prove one day. But when you listen to how much happened, I think any reasonable person would question whether that was normal behavior for them, because nobody had any problem with them humiliating, making fun of, and even just saying vile names to the children. There wasn't one decent adult in that room who stood up and said, don't do this, that's wrong, or Keen, I'm sorry, you shouldn't have heard that. They were all just participating in it.
Well, how long were the reports, because there, obviously you said a behaviorist was brought in, so there was some report that was getting to you that Akeem was being violent in class, and this happened obviously before you wired him up. How long were those reports going on?
It happened the first week he went to school, and I've got a stack of
I'm sorry, just to clarify, you mean the first week a year and a half ago, or?
No, the first week of September of this year.
Okay, so it's the second year in the school, the first week he's showing.
Right. Okay. And I don't know. I said, I don't know what happened the previous year.
Okay.
No, she did say they weren't telling me things. She admitted that on the audio. But I can't say if something did happen, something didn't happen. I can't, the only thing I can say is fact is what happened that day when you hear it.
Right.
But the first week he went back to school, he started doing it. And he was doing it at least twice a week. I'd get notes home, and I just couldn't understand, why is he hitting these people? Because I have never seen him hit anyone. So
and then
on
February 17th, sure. That's when you wired him up. So we'll say if you got the first report in September, then it was going on for, what, four? Is that 4 months? My math is bad.
It was 6 months.
6 months. Okay, from September to February. See, Jen, that's why. That's why Jen's my co-host. I'll tell you about my school.
I made sure before I
I use crayons to make my notes. I'm very, very poor at math. And that's one of the things why when I found you, I thought it would be great to interview you because, I have a similar schooling experience. I'm not autistic, but I did go to a school for learning disabilities, and it was basically a special education school. I went there for 6 years, which is why my math skills are so poor. But anyway, so this was going on for 6 months, and they were they reports that he was acting up, or were they specific to throwing things?
They were. Well, no, it was reports that he was physically attacking. He was punching and slapping and grabbing the teacher and staff.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, it was, and sometimes he'd throw over chairs, but he didn't. I go after any other children. Mm-hmm. It was pretty much just directed at the staff, which was a clue. When more pieces started to come in, it started to make sense. They downplayed it. At one point, they said, he's getting older. It's his hormones kicking in. They really tried to downplay it, but I kept writing to them. I mean, there's this was as serious as it got for me, especially you know, when it wasn't going away and time dragged on, and then we had a meeting with the school district about it, and they, you know, took time for them to bring a behaviorist in. So all these things added, you know, weeks and weeks until finally I realized I have to know. And you know, the strangest thing about the story in the sense of why I did it was, you know, I had been thinking about doing it, but that morning I had had a dream that I needed to do it. And I woke up and I just put it in. I didn't even think twice about it. I just did. I'm just going to do it, put it in, and see what happens. So it was like some subconscious message I was sending that I have to know. Like, I knew I needed to know, and I just needed to do it. Just do it. And I'm grateful I did, because I think it saved my son's life.
I'm with you. I would do it for sure. I am a credentialed teacher in California, and I stay home with my two boys now. I told Jake I used to sub a lot in special ed classes, and it's one of the hardest jobs, I think, to be a special ed teacher, and we do get frustrated, and I would get frustrated with kids there. But after listening to your video, I mean, I was pretty upset. I listened to it again last night and ready to cry listening to how they spoke to him. And not to say on the side that sometimes we don't say, fuck, did you see what that kid did, you know, but never to their faces. Would we have ever said something like that? But we're human. There are frustration levels when a kid does the same thing to you over and over and over, where eventually you snap a little bit, not to them, though. That's where the professional part comes in. And I think they were, from listening to them and the way they laughed, that they're purposefully pushing some of his buttons. They seemed like bullies to me. Like, they liked seeing his reaction, and they got a good one out of him. You know, every time it seemed like they would push it, and they like to see that reaction for some horrible reason.
Well, and I can tell you another critical incident was that my son, and this is something, you know, because sometimes they play the order. They start when my son screams, and then she says, shut your mouth. But that's the wrong starting point. The starting point is earlier, when my son is calm, and he doesn't scream or cry until they humiliate him. And there was a long stretch of time that you could link these clips together, so that it starts off when they mock him, when he's who are you talking to? Nobody. When he's talking to himself, he gets very upset by that.
Oh, yeah, they were mocking him for sure.
Right. And then he gets upset by that, and they tell him to knock it off. And then when he screams because they're just telling him all stuff, then she tells him, shut your mouth. And then because he's so shaken up by all that, just when they're talking about something else and he starts to break down, they call him a bastard for that. So these people have just something so dark and evil inside of them that they just vented on an innocent boy. They made him cry, and then they were angry at him for reacting, and then they punished him even further.
Just to get back to the question, a few questions. When the behaviorist was brought in, was that a behaviorist the school had suggested or someone you found privately?
No, it was a school. It was a school behaviorist. It was a behaviorist who worked with the school.
And his purpose was to push your son to try and make him angry to see if he would lash out.
No, you know what? That I didn't even know he did, and I was a little disturbed when I found that out. By the way,
okay.
But
yeah, that was
his purpose was to. Huh?
What did the behaviorist do to?
You know, he never really told me, but his job was to, and what I thought he was going to do, was to spend a couple of days in the class. And monitor him like the whole time and try to catch him. Now, bear in mind, this was before I knew there was any bullying going on as being the cause of it. So I didn't know what was going on. Well, most people didn't know what was going on. Apparently the staff must have, unless they're just so blind to what they were doing. But his job was to try to witness a teen lashing out and then find out why he was doing it. And the fact that, first of all, he was there multiple times and never saw a teen lash out. And then when when he told me that he was trying to, you know, after the fact, that he tried to aggravate a key and to cause a reaction, I was really not happy about that because I don't want someone pushing, you know, aggravating my son. But then when he said even that didn't cause a reaction, then the only logical, reason left was that, well, if the behaviorist was there and nothing was going on, what was going on when he wasn't there? And that's when all the pieces started to fall together, and I said, I need to know what's going on.
I know a little bit about autism. Like I said, I went to I've been around special education a long time. I know that there's varying degrees of it. I know about Asperger's. I know that the diagnosis numbers are shockingly, they've shockingly changed and gone up over the years. And I just wonder, when you say a Kian has autism, could you specify that for me? Is it severe autism? Is it high functioning? Is it, I mean, any degree in between?
Here's the thing. You know, they call it an autistic spectrum
right. Because
each kid is different.
Right.
And it's really true. You know, some kids may have certain similar traits, but each kid has their own issues. You know, there's some children who, you know, don't like physical touch or, you know, and or lights, or don't like to eat, or they only like to eat certain things. My son doesn't have any of that.
Okay.
But he is verbally limited. So he can talk, and you can hear him talking.
Right.
But he could never come home and say, "Dad, do you know that the teacher said that she drank a lot of wine and was doing a happy dance?" I mean, he would never, you know, he wasn't able to do that. And neither were any of the other children that class. All of them had communication issues, so that none of them were able to tell the parents what happened, which made them all victims. But it also made, you know, you can judge the character of a person how they treat the most vulnerable amongst us. You know, when they think no one is watching, how do they act? And that's why when you see what they did to these children, when they felt they can get away with it, these people acted like monsters. And they never expected that I would drop or anyone would put an audio recorder and find out.
Right.
And it gave them what they felt was the freedom to lash out in the most horrifying way possible. I shouldn't say that. Look, there are worse things that could have happened, but
yes.
Verbal abuse is as bad as physical abuse. It stays with you, it scars you, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to come forward as well, because anyone who thinks that my son or any person with autism doesn't feel or doesn't remember what happened to him is 100% wrong. They do. Just because they can't say it doesn't mean they don't experience it. And one day, when my son is ready to talk about this, I'll be able to sit down with him and say, "Kian, the whole world took your side, and they gave you your love. And I hope that will help him heal and get closure on this. The fact that I stood up for him and defended him, and these people, you know, were brought to justice."
And so he, even though he has trouble communicating back to you, he does fully understand everything said to him?
I mean, he's like any of us. You know, he understands what happens. I mean, they don't, you know, they're not... You know, there are stories of children with autism who have been nonverbal their entire life, and then they come out, you know, years later and are able to tell, you know, write down everything that happened to them. So, of course, you know, he's a human being. He's, you know, just because he lives in a more closed-off world inside of him, everything still penetrates that, just as it would for you and me. There's no difference. They're not like a separate...
Yeah.
They're us. Their brains are wired a little differently. That's
I wasn't inferring that. I'm just wondering, you know.
No. Just making it. I just always like to make that statement that, you know, because there are people who feel that way. I mean, you know, these people felt that way. There are people who, you know, if a child, you know, doesn't look like he's there, then he's not there. But I'm just saying, you know, and part of the message I'm trying to get at is that don't believe it, you know.
Upset with every... button they were pushing, he was understanding
right.
it at least somewhat. Especially the one that was most heartbreaking that I heard was, "May I see Dad after Mom?" Since he sees
right.
her every other weekend, he wanted to be sure he's going to see you and needed to ask that, and them saying no. I mean, did that happen immediately after he asked, or was there things in between
that? There were two clips related to that. The first one was earlier in the day during that first session, you know, when after the wine. And he says, "May I see Dad after Mom?" And she says, "No, immediately."
Wow.
And that was one clip. And then he got really upset by that. The second one, and the one, if you watch the video, it's the last clip I play, and I say, to me, this is the worst thing that happened to him that day. And it's the thing that still, I cannot listen to, well, first of all, I can't listen to any of this stuff without getting angry. But I can't even think about what they did to him in that last one without having my heart broken each time. And he says, "May I see," which was, "May I see Dad after Mom?" He says, "May I see?" Some woman snickers, "You can't see." And then two more women laugh at him. And then he starts to cry, and it progresses into like, no, while he's crying. And they didn't care. There wasn't a scintilla of human compassion within any of those people. There was just this viciousness. And I am, I'm so gratified that so many people have taken the story to heart, because it says so much that it's almost universally recognized about the cruelty that these people inflicted. It didn't have to come down to blows or pushing. Everyone can tell that the words used, that the phrases, that the humiliation was as damaging as any punch or kick.
And I'm pulling my kids out of their school, putting them in a charter whole child, approach school for simple bullying that's not being dealt with at the school. So
right.
what are you doing with Akian now? Are you going to be able to put him back in a school after
this?
Well,
I don't... Just so you know, I don't comment on where he is or where anything
right.
like that, just for many different reasons. But I do want to think about something you said and something else that was said earlier. One of the things that came out of this for me personally is I have received literally thousands and thousands of emails, and so many of them are from students or former students who have autism and special needs who were telling me that they were bullied by their teacher or they suffered bullying here, and from parents just like me, who have stories that mirror my own, where they say, I picked up the phone with mothers and fathers crying to me, how do I find out what's going on in my school? And then I tell them how to do it. I say that, all the time, this is it's so much easier than you think. Find out if it's legal in your state, because New Jersey
right.
it is legal. And then you can decide whether you still want to do it. Look, if I faced 20 years in jail, I still would have done it because my son's well-being was at risk. I knew something
well,
was wrong.
Well,
except
anyway. You're his primary caregiver, though. You don't want to get
right.
yourself in jail, so be careful.
Well, I'm not. I believe me, it's legal here anyway.
But if I did,
my son would have been destroyed.
So.
No, but I know. I'm just saying. But it's as simple as going to any kind of, Target, Walmart, Best Buy, whatever you go to, get a $30 small digital audio recorder and you put it in a loose pocket and they'll never know. And then if you do have suspicions, and I tell parents, if you've got some kind of instinct telling you something must be wrong, follow it.
Step in for a second, Stuart, because, again, I understand your son has special needs and this is a special case, but I worry a little bit about that message just between you and me, man to man, that obviously, in extreme circumstances, yes, do whatever it takes to get your kid. But nowadays, and I'm not saying this is in your case, but I've seen a pattern that's kind of on the flip side, the other side, which is a lot of parents, the way that their kids are being socialized at schools, they're having issue with the teachers. They're demanding teachers take responsibility, that they're the adult in the situation. But you'll hear stories about the kids doing terrible things. Like, for instance, there was a girl who was handcuffed at her school. This was a big outrage in the national news media because she was restrained and handcuffed until the police came. But they left out in the news report that she was throwing things and biting teachers, and she didn't have any special needs. She was a normal student. Her mother just said she's having a bad day. She's a special kid, sweet, perfect. She was having a bad day. And in an environment like that, which America is nowadays, in my opinion, where it's gone a little too far with even the term bullying or abuse or trauma, I know you're in Jersey, so you're aware of the Ravi case. There's sort of this outpouring where it's a little scary to me, and again, I just want to reiterate, I'm not talking about you or your case. Just in general, if you're telling parents, if you suspect your teacher, record them, you'll find certain things. Because there are things that, when I was a kid, things my teacher said, for instance, using your example of picking nose, if I was picking my nose in class, the other kids would have made fun of me back then too, and the teacher would have as well, because I'm picking my nose. And those kinds of instances, I look back on now as an adult, thinking, I'm glad there was a little bit of shame in that situation, because I'd be out right now, 35 years old, running around with my shorts out and, sock strips, picking my nose.
Mean. Nose picking grosses me out. As a teacher, it really does. And the one thing I would say always if I caught a kid picking their nose was, go wash your hands. That was
right.
it, though. That's all that it kind of needed. It didn't need to be made a spectacle of by picking his nose.
Right.
You know,
and let me let me say something I think I would disagree with. I don't think you needed to be humiliated to learn maybe you didn't need to do that or whatever. I mean, I think there's, you know, and that's the key. You could just say to someone, oh, look, you know, please pay attention, or, you know, just wash your hand, whatever, say it nicely, calmly. I don't think we learn from humiliation and shame. I think it just causes more humiliation and shame. I think the best way to teach is through kindness and compassion. And if someone
absolutely.
Is being mean, and you know, if this had turned out to be there was one instance someone just yelled, shut up, this would not have been an issue. If in 6.5 hours someone said once, shut your mouth, this would have been something that would have dealt with it with the school and it would have been over. No, so there is also a reality rule by this that if it's not really significant, a one-off thing where it doesn't seem like it's the culture, then it's not going to take off. You're not going to get, you know, millions of people watching it. In this case, And potentially other cases as well, when there is more severe and it is more, you have multiple instances, and that will be the rule from it, you know. And in the future, I think when if there are unfortunate cases where it happens like this again, it will get a lot of attention. If it's something that people can go, well, that doesn't really, you know, it really was just a one bad day, and teacher just said one thing, and she's apologized for it, and you know, she lost a day of work or something. Then I think all those things will be judged in proportion.
Well, first things first. I mean, using Ravi as an example, I don't know where you stand on that story.
Well,
Rutgers suicide.
Which
that was a kid. It was at Rutgers. It was on a college campus. And,
oh, okay, right.
And the one guy didn't like that his roommate was gay, and he recorded him, much like you did with the kid,
yeah.
And the kid killed himself. Now, it was ruled it wasn't linked. I don't want to talk about it too much. But the kid that recorded him, even though it was never webcast, no sex was ever filmed, he's in prison. He's facing up to 15-year sentencing. And what he really did when all the facts were out is he basically tweeted to his followers, oh, great, my roommate's gay. And he put a webcam on to make sure that the partner the guy was bringing home or bringing to the dorm room didn't steal his stuff. Well, he's facing prison time. So when you say there is a sort of rational response, we can count on people to be rational, I totally 100% disagree, especially nowadays. The word bullying, if you use that, I've compared it on the show to the Salem witch trials when you call somebody a witch. I mean, the definition of bullying itself is changing. When I was a kid, a bully was someone who physically intimidated you over a period of time. It wasn't somebody who humiliated you when you picked your nose. So it's a different kind of world nowadays, and that's what scares me because, again, in your case, obviously, a key in being special needs and having a teacher call him a bastard, I think that's why you're at 3 million views on YouTube. If you just had a kid who was at school and he was throwing stuff and the teacher asked him to stop and he kept throwing it, it probably wouldn't be so much in your favor. So,
I think I would shame my own kids and tell my own kids it's gross, stop picking your nose, what are you doing, why are you picking your nose? I might harass them a little bit. I just don't think professionally in a classroom that's okay. I mean,
well, I want to just say that when I said humiliation, I was talking about other kids. I may not have been clear, but of course a teacher shouldn't go, hey, look at the fat kid picking his nose. But we expect our teachers to be responsible adults, but your kid is still in school with other kids, and we all remember school. School is cruel. Kids are cruel. And even if the teacher is, you know, judge and executioner, so to speak, and she's calm and she doesn't call the kid a bastard or anything, the other kids are going to make fun of your kid for picking his nose. I mean, you mentioned being at a Target, I think, and another student, Stuart, came up to you and said, your kid cries a lot in class. Which if I said that to you, your kid cries a lot, you'd get really upset at me. But it's a kid, and we understand kids don't have those filters or those buffers. So when I
I should say, I think that kid had he may have had autism as well, and that was what was beautiful about it in the sense that he was telling me something very honest. He wasn't telling me, you know, because I was watching him, and I could recognize he must have had some level of autism, and he was just telling, he was making a factual, honest statement.
Right.
And that's why it was so powerful. And the time of it was unreal.
Right.
You know, it was a week before I made this video, and this little boy comes up to me and says, I know a kid. I recognize him. I know him from school. And he says, you know, boy, he really cries a lot. And I was just like, wow. That, you know, it was so incredibly honest. And I didn't feel anything bad for that. But, I mean, I didn't take it in any way negatively. In fact, I was appreciative of the fact that he was willing to tell me.
Well, let me just ask you this, and again, it's just devil's advocate maybe, or just asking a question, but in the case of Achaean and this teacher, if he was violent, let's say, if he was throwing things and hitting, and this was going on for 4 months, if that was the case, obviously you only recorded for one day. If there was that sort of approach, and she had been patient and the adult for a long time, and maybe the day you recorded her, she just had lost her patience. I mean, you could make that argument, yes or no?
Well, but let's look at reality. The reality was that Achaean is fine in the audio until he's humiliated, and then he reacts. I mean, it's not until he is humiliated or made fun of that he reacts. No, they create it. You know, it would be the same thing as if you kept throwing sticks at me and finally I hit you. Well, if you don't throw sticks at me, I'm never going to hit you. It would never happen. So
but couldn't you make that argument about Achaean throwing things in class and being violent with the teacher that was the stick throwing and maybe her calling him a bastard?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is those didn't happen. And and I can tell you that the fact is he has not had an incident since, and he didn't have incidents like this with previous teachers. So
was he acting out? Has he been acting out at home?
Yeah, but he was at that school, you said, for a year and a half, and you're not sure what the reports were the year before because they weren't telling you, and then you said that you got reports for 4 months before.
Yeah, why weren't they telling him? That's weird, too, that they weren't reporting
him. I can't make any factual statements about the year before. I can make factual statements on what happened that day and the fact that this happened. Again, when the behaviors aggravated him because he wanted the Achaean to get violent and he couldn't do it. Think about that for a second. Someone's trying to get a rise out of you, and they can't do it because apparently he wasn't being as mean as the aides were. You know, when they did that worst thing to Achaean, may I see, you can't see, it was after that he had about a 30-minute meltdown, okay? He would not have had that meltdown if they didn't just humiliate him, and we know that because he doesn't have meltdowns like that in normal circumstances. I mean, I've lived with him for all these 10 years. He has not been violent. I mean, you know, he may have an occasional meltdown, but it's never been anything like what they described, and they're quite rare. I'd say he's probably has less meltdowns than a mainstream kid would ever have. I mean, for the most part, 99% of his life, he's actually quite calm. So for him to slap somebody or grab them, he had to be really hurt. And again, not one, but two instances during that day, he either grabbed the person or lashed out, and it was right after he was humiliated or made fun of.
Right. I mean, again, you know, I'm not trying to push a button. This is just purely for interview sense, but you could make the argument that there was a repeated outburst from him for some series of months, and that since you only have the recording of the day, you could argue that your recording is also a small sample size, because obviously if you had the full recording of the year and a half, I mean, you can go through and dissect what caused this, what caused that. Also, your son, as you said, has trouble communicating. He's verbal autism, so he can't really tell you what's going on, like you said. So most of this is you're going off audio from the one day. You don't know necessarily if this teacher was pushed, if she just reached her limit. I'm not saying she was. I'm just saying for sake of argument.
So
and when you mentioned the behaviors came in.
Yeah,
no,
I can say it for sure. I can, because I've got audio of him when he leaves the house.
Yeah.
And let me go through the step by step. First of all, let me also say, I was contacted by previous teachers to Achaean who were shocked and so sad because they said, what a lovely child. They never had any problem. They couldn't believe someone would do this. So he has no history of it. There's no history of it. Secondly, from the moment he left my house, he was happy. He's on the bus. He's happy. The first time he shows any kind of distress is when his aide, who I talked about, his name is Jody on the video, she gets him from the bus, and she's very loud with him and says, Achaean, you've got to walk with your eyes open, like that, and he squeals a little bit. The first time he shows any kind of distress is after being talked to harshly. He's fine after that. And I have, you know, as I said, I've gone through every second of this audio. He doesn't express another real negative reaction until they say something to him. Until I'm trying to remember the order, but until who are you talking to? Nobody. I mean, he's fine.
What's
not
his prognosis? Like, what happens in you know, in the real world, not in a classroom like that? What's his prognosis if, you know, people aren't going to always be speaking in a kind voice? You know, how, I'm just curious, what is he expected to learn to deal with this? Not abuse from teachers, but
That's an unanswerable question. I mean, you know, if you're talking about being in a hostile classroom where people have no problem making fun of you and calling you a bastard, yeah, I would expect it. That's why I refer to it that he didn't go to school. He went to a prison. If anyone is going to be in a prison-like situation where there's hostility constantly, you're probably going to become hostile. If you are treated with kindness and compassion, there's a good chance you'll be kind and compassionate yourself. I mean, there's no way to know anything. All I know is I have never witnessed in my life with him, and I've been with him more than any other human being on the planet.
Of course.
I've never seen him grab anyone. I've never seen him hurt anyone, but it was happening in here. And again, I can point, if you want to sit down, we can listen, you know, go through the whole 6.5 hours.
I would love to.
Here, A led to B, which led to C, and which led to D. I mean, it was a straight path.
Well, I can't imagine.
I mean, there's nothing more clear than that in this case.
Well, I'm just saying.
And anger. I can't imagine your frustration and anger as a mom. As a teacher, I understand their frustration, but I understand how they handled it very inappropriately.
And like I said,
us teachers on the side, it's not a perfect world. You know, it's a very hard job. And I definitely, we have sat together and been like, damn, that little shit threw this at me today. But we love them. You know, like, I mean, I didn't feel the love.
You don't do that in front of the kid.
Not in front of the kids.
Right.
Never, never, ever. No, and we're human, but definitely would not do it to their face like
and
that.
That's
I mean,
when I started the
show, just so you know, you don't have to, you know, I mean, I don't mind being questioned on this at all, so you don't have to say, you know,
okay,
start to ask us, whatever, because
I have a history of people hanging up on me, Stuart. I have a history of being hung up on every single week.
What?
So
let me tell you something. I've been an activist for 20 years. I've fought against animal cruelty. I've had guys point guns at me. I've been shot at. I've been dealt with the worst people. I went, my first debate I have did was me against 300 guys from the NRA. So you're not, trust me, you
all
haven't
right,
done
message,
anything to make you want to hang up.
Received.
So
okay, well then, let me ask you this. Is it feasible, I mean, a teacher and a student have a relationship, yes and no. I mean, yes. So
yes.
Is it feasible this relationship, like a lot of relationships, become resentful and they fester? And if there was a period of time where Kian was not listening and acting out and throwing things, again, I'm not making excuses. She should never have called him a bastard. For me, that's the part that I think is inexcusable because she did it in front
of him.
She's
in the wrong career.
Yeah, I mean, but the other things like that, like there's a point where you do hear her say, put your hands down and close your mouth a few times, and he doesn't. He's still acting out. And it isn't until the fourth time, by my count, that she says, shut your mouth. And the way I interpret that is she's physically telling him to close his jaw because his mouth is open. She says, not with your mouth open. So when a lot of people hear shut your mouth, they think, you know, he probably just said, hey, excuse me. And she's like, shut your mouth, kid. But, and this is on your tape. I hear multiple times she's saying, put your hands down. She points to another student in the class where she's like, see how he's sitting with his hands down and his mouth closed. You're not going to get anything if your mouth isn't closed. And Akian is upset. So I'm wondering if just maybe they just don't get along, him and this teacher. And that's why it's very simple to listen to the tape and go, oh, everything she does is setting him off. Because she probably is. I mean, it's obvious she's setting him off. But he's setting her off too, possibly.
But bear in mind, why is he upset and making noises and did she tell him? Because he said, may I see that after mom? And she said, no.
Well, I have a weird question about that.
She's pushing his buttons, for sure.
Well, why is she asking?
Remember what the cause is. You know, that's why, I mean, try not to, and, you know, I have a page on my website where I discuss the first 15 minutes of the day.
Right.
And I go, you know, and I wanted to show a segment of the day of how they went from one event to one event to one event. And that was the point. And that's why I say, I even put in the video, the only time McKeon cries or screams was after something happened. So they do something to him. They say, may I see that after mom? She says, no. He cried. They
why
say,
is he asking his
knock
teacher?
It off. He cries more. They say, shut your mouth. And it just goes on and on like that. So each thing, one thing leads to the other, but each cause, the spark of the fire, was lit by them, not him. He didn't just start screaming and yelling for no reason. It all began with a single incident started by one of the staff.
But
and
again,
you can trace it.
For sake of argument in this debate, it's you're talking about one day of recording. You're not sure. You cannot say, like you said, you cannot speak factually on the year before or the 4 months before. You don't know if she's like,
you know, it could be that he bites her every time she says, you know, did you do your homework? And she's been nice for a year and a half. And finally, this one day you record, she's like, oh, you bastard. I mean, to me, that's
unrespectful. They seem very comfortable with what they said. They seem like they've been doing it, in my opinion. They seemed pretty comfy.
But again, if you have a year and a half hit, like, you know, I went to dinner with my wife last night, Stuart, and we were talking. She said something that triggered me, and I got upset, and I said something back. Now, I love my wife, and we get along great, but I always hear from people, objective or friends, that we're snippy. We don't see it. We tell people, what are we talking about? We never fight. But my friends tell me, no, you guys snap at each other all the time, and it's just our relationship. If Akian and this teacher have that kind of relationship, if it's been a year and a half, if she hasn't been able to restrain him or get through to him, you could see how the snappiness kind of builds like it does in a marriage or any relationship. It's like I said, it's a teacher-student relationship. What's not to say she didn't just reach her boiling point? And at the same thing, she didn't ever hit him. When you say bullying and trauma and abuse and prison, I want to reiterate, she never physically hit him. She did say under her breath that he was a bastard in front of his face, which I'm with you on. I don't think there's any excuse for that. The shut your mouth can be interpreted a different way, like how I hear, where she asks him nicely to close his mouth four times before she says shut your mouth. So, really...
Let me answer one question. Did you read the email on my website about that?
I did not, no.
Okay, so go to hnva.net. You can put off the video, /teacherbully. Because what I did... And I guess you're missing part of the picture, so maybe this is why this might be, you know, we're having some issues here.
Fair enough.
After I heard it, I wrote an email to the teacher, and I said, did anyone tell Akian shut your mouth? And she said, no, we never do that.
I heard that.
And I didn't hear anyone say that. So she was lying or you know, whatever you want to say about it, however you want to put it, but the point is, we have a behavioral plan in place where you are not supposed to do that.
Right.
There's a whole point about this whole thing is that you treat him in a certain way, and they deliberately weren't following it. Now, with all due respect, we can you know, try to create up this scenario, that scenario. Then let's just listen to the story. Listen to the story, how it plays out. Again,
well, I was aware of that
is cluttered.
Jen, my co-host, did inform me that. I am aware of that. Again, this is not necessarily my opinion. I'm just throwing it out there because I don't think anyone else is really going to honestly question you or Akian on this because they hear the buzzwords. They hear autism and bully, and it's like, okay, mind is made up. That's not how I work. It never has been. We did this first 30 minutes of this interview. I was just asking questions. I wasn't forming an opinion, and I wish more people would do that, first of all. And the point I want to get at is your son is in school. You have him go to school. There is a lesson plan. You do meet with the teachers before the year about how your the IP scheduling or whatever. The bottom line is, it is your goal to socialize Akian into the real world, yes? I mean, you understand what I'm asking?
Socializing part of his education? I mean...
That's part of all of our education. Otherwise, none of us would go to school. We'd all be living in the backyard. I mean, you know, farming. I mean,
but we usually have to deal with kids doing that to us, not your trusted adults. You know.
You said something which I really want to discuss further. You said what you believe to be bullying is this or that. Here's what I believe to be bullying in. Whatever hurts the child, it's going to be different for me. For you, as you said. You've got people who hang up on you, right? Because their tolerance level is different than mine and all that. So they, for whatever reason, they couldn't deal with it.
Right.
We're all individuals, and the bullying is based on that individuality. In this case, I will absolutely call bullying when someone says something to Cain that upsets him and makes him cry because it hurts him. Now, if I say to you, may I see Dad after Mom, and you say no, that's not going to hurt us because it's not a personal, deep thing as it is for him. And that's why I stressed it in the video. I have to explain exactly why that did cause him so much pain. And they knew it because we've dealt with this issue before, and they've had him for a year and a half, and every other week he goes to see his mom. So it is bullying is an individual thing. I can't say, you know, I could probably take a punch harder than a lot of other people, and I wouldn't feel it. Other people might live with a scar for the rest of their life because it hurts so badly. We're all individual. Bullying is an individual thing. In this case, the things that hurt him most wasn't the bastard thing. That was just showed the viciousness and the nasty of it. The thing that hurt him the most was when they made fun of him after he said, "May I see?" You can't see, and then they laughed at him because you heard how hard he cried and said, "No, no, no," and they cried. So that's
but by that definition, Stuart, I mean, I didn't like when, you know, I showed up to school and didn't do my homework, and the teacher used red ink on my piece of paper telling me this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. That made me feel bad, but that's her job.
What did they do?
If they said this question is wrong, like they said explain pie, and I wrote I like to eat it, and they put a big X on the paper, I could call that bullying. It hurts my feelings that they rejected my answer, even though it was wrong. I mean, this is
but
the thing.
But a Kean can't speak up for himself. That's
this
the
isn't
difference.
I know.
You could
we're,
have said
we're talking the
teacher.
Definition of bullying, which is physical intimidation over a long period of time.
Let's take that for a second. If you were honestly devastated by that then I think that you're so whoever you told about that should have gone to the teacher and said, look, how do we do this a different way? Can you just say, listen, this is incorrect, use something different because this is really hurting his feelings? You know, it could be anything. But the point is, if that whatever really hurt you as a child, it should never have happened to you. And if you have the ability to express it, then you can. And Kean doesn't have the ability to express it. All he can do is just be hurt by it. And then wind up, as he did, lash out.
Well,
but
again, Kean's a special case because he has communication issues. But I'm talking the definition of bullying is using physical strength to intimidate a person over time. So, first of all, you took
but
debate,
there's
obviously.
There's mental and emotional bullying, Jake.
There is.
Yeah, I would disagree with that
again,
totally.
No, there is emotional bullying. Okay, fine. But it's by someone. If a little kid right now, if a little 3-year-old Jen came up to you and said, "I don't like you," you wouldn't be intimidated because you can kick his butt. If someone
no,
twice
but
your
I watched
size,
a,
no,
I watched a 6-year-old at bowling yesterday bully a 10-year-old because he didn't know how to deal with it well. He was a little bit something.
But again,
was going
I'm
on
reading
special.
You the definition of bullying. I'm not making up the word. Hold on a second. I'm not making up the word. I'm reading you the actual definition. You guys are changing the connotation of the definition, which, Stuart, you took debate. You understand that's against the rules. The definition of bullying is using physical strength to intimidate. So you may say it's anything that hurts somebody's feeling. I'm telling you that is not what it is. By definition,
okay, let me ask
right?
a question.
According to Merriam-Webster.
So if there's a white racist kid who every day never touches an African-American but calls him the N-word every day, that's not bullying because as long as he never touches it's not bullying? Or if someone...
No, I agree with you. That's
bullying. Kid, if there's a gay kid and every day he's made fun of and called terrible names but they never touch him, that's not bullying?
No,
but
I mean, I would say
that
it is. It's
got to
be... No, you got to understand.
Himself.
It's got to be an intimidation... I mean, somebody calls me a fat loser every day, it doesn't hurt my feelings.
But
now,
you stick up for yourself. No,
but this is the point I'm getting at, Jen. This is the point I'm getting at. We're telling our kids, anybody that hurts your feelings, welcome to school. That's what kids do to each other. Instead of sitting here going, everything is bullying. Every time you're uncomfortable, you're being bullied. What we should be saying is you need to work on your confidence. Now, Kean's a different story. I've said that a million times. He is autistic. I'm talking in general now in the sense of bullying in school and the temperature America's in nowadays. Somebody telling you, calling you names is not bullying. If you see it as bullying, it's because you're weak and you're being oversensitive to it. This is the message I keep giving out every week while everybody hangs up on me.
I'm going to. We can agree to disagree on that, but you know, and I don't know how much time we have left. But
we have 6 minutes left.
I think that when I was a kid, and if someone made, you know, I was born Jewish, I was raised Jewish for the first part of my life, and when I heard people make anti-Semitic remarks, you know, it hurt. It didn't mean that I wasn't self-confident. It's just that when you're young and people pick on you for whatever prejudice
they have,
does it
hurt you now?
Hurting is part of it. Now, when I grow up, people can say whatever they want to me and I'll,
what
and I'll
changes
you
when
know,
you
I
grow
can
up?
Laugh it off.
What changes
I'm sorry?
When you grow up? What changed? You said
what changed when I grew up is because it's growing up is the change, is that you're not, you know, no one at 5, 6, 7 years old has experienced life yet to make those choices and to figure out how to be confident. There are few people who can. But
how
most
do you,
kids are still developing. You're young.
How do you
self-esteem,
learn? You
Jake,
think it's
you
just natural? You think it's natural just that you get older that you get self-esteem? You're saying everybody who's an adult doesn't get their feelings hurt easy?
Well, of course. As I said, it's all individualized. How do you learn? Well, you can learn through being – you're in certain people, you can learn by being bullied to be stronger. Some people become bullies themselves and then they become cyclic. And then you can just maybe have to learn through love and kindness and compassion, which is my choice. And that's what I do. You know, I believe strongly in nonviolence. You know, I'm a big guy, and I would never hurt anyone, and I try my best, even though I'm, You know, I may fail at different times to try to just teach through compassion. And it's a goal. That is my goal. That is the path that I chose as an adult to make. And I would hope, you know, that everybody would choose their own way without having to teach other people through by hurting them.
Well, again, I'm not saying that bullying, you know, again, the actual definition of bullying I'm against, the actual physical intimidation. Like I've said before, an adult can bully a child. A bigger kid can bully another child in school. It is terribly damaging to a child. That's real bullying. The bullying nowadays where someone goes, I don't like you, your feet stink, that's not bullying. And if that makes you feel sensitive,
can I tell you something?
You're going to get weeded out. Darwin. It's Darwin-ish.
Here's the thing why I completely – then we need to change the definition because I grew up in a real violent household, and I was subject to a lot of physical beatings. Do you want to know something? The sad truth is you get used to it, and the physical beating doesn't hurt.
Right.
It was the terrible things that were said to me that lasted the scar. So I could take a punch as a 5- and 6-year-old kid pretty well. But when the things that were said to me that were mean or nasty as a young child, that's what hurts. And you hear it, talk to people about that. It's a very sad fact, but I heard many people say, you know what? It wasn't the physical violence that really hurt. It was when they said this about me, or when he made fun of me, or when he said I was no good.
Right.
And some people grow from that, become weak. Some people become bullies, and some people, you know, become strong and try to defend the others, you know, which is why I chose to be an activist.
Let me just say this.
I didn't want to see anybody.
3 minutes left. Here, I'll give you a scenario. A dog. Okay, you have dogs.
Oh, gosh.
You're on a street.
Every dog.
Okay. When a dog barks at you, it scares you when a dog barks at you, especially like a pit bull. Violent dog shows his teeth. It's a barking dog. I can see how it's intimidating. But the actual threat is that it's a pit bull who's going to chew your throat out. So if a little chihuahua barks, do you get as intimidated as you do with a pit bull? It's teeth, it's barking, it's hurting your feelings, it's using words, whatever you want to call it. The fact is you don't, because there's not threat of physical intimidation. Now, you're telling me when you were a child, you were in a violent upbringing and you can take a punch. I'm trying to tell you the physical addition to the actual bullying. Of course, you can say psychologically you're more damaged from the words, but it was that threat of violence that really sunk it in. It was from someone bigger. It was obviously, I think, a parent, if I can imagine. So you couldn't defend yourself as a kid. That's actual bullying.
Well, these teachers were pit bulls.
What I'm telling you is I would have preferred – okay, look, first of all, let me say something. Pit bulls are very gentle. I know.
I know.
Well, I got to stand up for them because you're bored.
No, they're pit bulls. I'm just saying. They scare the crap out of me
gentle,
over chihuahua.
Not a species thing. And by the way, go rescue – you know, everyone should rescue dogs and not buy them. So you got to put that in.
Absolutely.
But the other thing is – I got to get that in. As long as we're talking about dogs. One of my dogs are rescued. So – but the point is that, look, it's – and I think we're just going around in circles at this point. But I prefer, you know, not that I preferred anything, but it was easier to take the punch than have whatever else was being done because it was over and it was done with. So it wasn't, the threat wasn't the violence. I mean, that just happened. That's not even a threat. I mean, a threat is, it was a fact.
If
the
I insulted
was, you
over you
know, what
the
is
phone?
He going to do to humiliate, you know, me next or whatever?
If I humiliate
you know,
over
that's
the phone,
it. I mean,
what
we don't have to get a whole personal thing here, but I mean, I'm just saying that since it's come up, that's my experience. The experience for me was that you know, you learn that the pain, you close your eyes, it's over, and then, you know, the physical punch is over. But when he did something to humiliate you in front of your friends or something, or whatever it was, that lasted. So I would change the definition. I'm all for changing the definition of bullying.
Well, we got
that
a minute and a half. I'm going to wrap it up.
Pain or however you want to say it.
Can I ask him a quick question before you wrap it up?
Okay.
Because someone wants to know, how's Akian now? How is he doing? Is he home?
Well, he's excellent now. I mean, he's in a compassionate environment. And, you know, I'm not going to talk about where he is or anything like that, but he's in a different environment, and he's had zero behavioral incidents, which to me says everything.
Good. Glad
well,
to hear.
Well, that's the important
thing.
Sticking
up for your boy and protecting him.
Yeah, Jen. Stuart, I want to thank you so much. I hope you would call again. I mean that. This is
by far
the best guest I've ever had. You stood your ground. I appreciate it. I just want to say.
Say about pit bulls next time.
This is not about pit bulls, Jen or Stuart. The message here is our kids.
Leave them alone. They're not vicious.
Life is hard. Okay? I just want to say this. Life is hard. It's not pretty. You're going to get your feelings hurt. And even a Kian who's a special needs case, even him, the point is you want him to grow up and be social and have the self-confidence to protect himself and to understand it. And my only advice to you, and I'll leave these with these last 20 seconds, is that sometimes if you overreact to the sensitivity of something, if you say feelings matter more than being punched in the face, what you're doing is you're systematically breaking down their self-confidence.
Oh.
Okay, with only 10 seconds left, you'll have to call back, or we can fight on Twitter. So
no fight.
It's because I care about kids that I want to stand up for kids and say, you know what, let's let our kids have some confidence and self-respect, and let's protect them. Let's give them confidence. Let's not stand on their side and say, you know what, someone hurt your feelings, are you okay, and lick their wounds. Don't coddle
Stuart,
them.
Stuart is being a Kian's voice. He is saying, leave me the fuck alone.
You know what I am? I'm the pit bull looking out for
yeah.
him. I'm the dire wolf in Game of Thrones sitting at my son's side. Because
I can't even tell you what I would do, Stuart, so I'm proud of you for not being psycho about it.
Well,
I would
I believe
probably
in
be in there fighting
I,
those
you know,
teachers.
Well, you know, that's the point. I'm not a bully. I wouldn't pick on someone. I would never hit a woman. I would never do anything like that. I would never... So
well,
I'm
met Jen,
justice. So. What did you say?
I said you haven't met Jen.
I would know. Sure, she's
no,
a lovely
of course.
Person.
Hey, Stuart, you are a class act. I want to thank you so much. If you're really open to it, I don't know if you were just BSing, but I would love to hear the 6 hours of audio. I don't know if your opinion's changed since our debate, but...
Well, I mean, first of all, it would just be an issue because I'd have to get parents' permission, and I'm not going to give that out. Because,
other children's right.
Other
I'll
children's
fly out
it.
There, and we'll hang out. We'll have some beers.
I don't drink alcohol either, sorry.
And what,
you
don't drink alcohol? Jeez,
that.
Man, you need a intervention for me. That's what this is about. Next
I'm
week.
I'm a vegan, too, but I'm a vegan.
Oh,
I don't drink
man,
drugs
Stuart,
or smoke.
Stuart,
so. I might be your nemesis here.
I'll be on the 9 o'clock flight. You and I, we're going to go shooting small critters. I'm just kidding. I don't hunt. But we're going to have some
it's
beers, and we're going to talk about life, and we're going to talk about how.
We'll have some soda.
You know, I'm going to have a kid eventually one of these days. Okay, you're right.
And
sorry,
then you know what?
Beer.
When you do your perspective,
do it,
we'll have this
Jake.
Conversation again.
You know, I hear that a lot, and
change.
I just want to say for the record, I do hear that a lot. You know, I've been around kids. I have a little brother. I have 4 young boy nephews. You know, I love kids. Anyone that knows me personally will tell you there's nobody that loves kids more than me. In fact, most people get creeped out by it. But the the bottom line is
thanks,
it's
thanks
because
for
I love
my
kids. Like, when I hear the Kian story, it's like, I want to build him up. I want to tell him, look, you're stronger than this. These things upset you, I understand, but life is hard. You know, there's going to be a million things that upset you well throughout your life, and how you deal with it now is the tools that you're going to have as an adult. And
well,
life
you know,
sucks.
Though, that someone, a Kian is going to need different coping skills than being able to just have a chat.
Of course.
So.
Absolutely.
Hey, didn't we have 10 seconds about 5 minutes ago?
We did, but I don't even know if anyone's listening, but this is fun. I'm just trying
oh,
to convince
you. Have listeners
you
today.
How do I get you to call back, Stuart? Because now that you're big, you know,
we can
pick
another show. You talk about, let's talk about animal issues if you want or something.
Yeah,
you got it.
Right.
Every Saturday. Animal rights.
Jake's a big pussy for cats. So.
Yeah, I have 2 cats, and I won't even cone them because I feel like I'm going to hurt their feelings. So I'm a big hack.
Well, see, I appreciate that. That's very sweet of you. Very loving the way you're treating them, and that's a good thing.
But again, they're cats, so I know that, you know, I can't. Giving them confidence doesn't matter. They're going to be trapped in my house all day. If I had a kid, I would be, as much as it would pain me, I would tell my kid, yeah, you know what, go, if someone comes up to you and hurts your feelings or intimidates you, punch them in the face. That's the first thing I would tell
them. Oh, wow.
I'm serious. I am serious. That's what I was told.
Yeah.
And, you know,
well,
I never
tell you what,
I didn't get
bullied. And I'll visit you in jail, and you can tell me when you get thrown to jail to teach your kid to beat up other people.
Well, that's why I do martial arts.
It's not that easy. It's not that easy. And I wouldn't want my son beating anybody up. I don't want him to. I don't want him to be a bully.
Well,
yeah.
Again,
I've had to resort to a little of that myself because people don't deal with bullies. Telling my kids to have to fight for their food or whatever it may be, it sucks because not a lot of people raise their kids to be kind and use their words. So.
Well, that's how you have to deal with the bullies. You know, Stuart, if I can pass off my man wisdom as a supreme alpha male to you, I would say if anyone's ever pushing, I know you're a pacifist and you've been punched and shot, sometimes you can only be pushed so far. Sometimes you got to strike back. That's all I got to say.
And that's
so,
what Akian's doing. That's why
he's
throwing the fucking chair.
Well, Akian, so good luck to you, Stuart. Jen, I'm going to call
you
and yell at you shortly. I want to say
you,
thank you,
Stuart. Keep fighting for your boy.
Thank you guys for having me.
All right, Stuart, thank you so much. All right, here comes
have
the closing music. This means it's official. All right, thank you, everybody. Of course, the music's not playing because I turned the audio down. I'm such a hack. There we go. All right, I'll see you, everybody.
Take care, guys.
Thank you.
See you later, guys.
Oh, Jen. Oh, Jen. Okay. Thank you, everybody, if anyone's still listening.